Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I to God be the glory. You get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, it is in Jesus' name we say thank you today for this another wonderful day you've allowed us to be in your house and to have fellowship with the saints. And God, you've brought us through another week, and for that, we say thank you. I pray that you would allow the Holy Ghost and his perfect preaching, teaching, ministry to meet us in the text and tailor the truth to reach us where we are and minister to us there, and then lift us to the place you would have us to be for your glory and for our good. And so we thank you in advance for what you shall do. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles to a very familiar passage of Scripture found in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, and we're going to commence with verse 1. I think I'd be remiss if I just wouldn't talk about love on this love day. And I don't want to talk about the eros love, the Greek word for the romantic love, because, you know, that ain't good enough for today, even though that's what the world celebrates. I want to talk about the agape love. That love that is to be the foundation for every love out of which we do love. And certainly I believe God will show and share us some things through his word that will bless our hearts. First verse of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity or agape, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not agape, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not agape, it profited me nothing. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I'm going to speak from the subject, how deep is your love? How deep is your love? It is clear, my brothers and sisters, that we'll see from this word how deep God's love is for us and how deep our love in the arena of agape should be one for another. But when we look at the word love and the many definitions of love, many times we will discover that it does not go deep enough to really be the blessing that love in its fullest term was designed to be. So oftentimes when we look at the word love, especially in the worldly context, it falls far short of what God intended love to be, even among friends and even in relationships, and even as relates to man in his relationship to God. And so there are some things that I want us to recognize, because these first three verses literally deal with the importance of love. If you look at that, and I don't have time to go through any more than that for this service, but the next verses, verses 4 through 8, is going to deal with the interpretation of love. And then verse 9 through 13, which ends up this chapter that we would be talking about of love, deals with the inspiration of love. But let's go back to the importance of love, because there are three different abilities that we find in the love that's represented in verse 1 through verses 3. First of all, it deals with linguistic abilities. Linguistic abilities. And what do I mean by linguistic ability? It talks about talking or speaking in various tongues, various languages. And so if I were able to stand here and in every language understandable to human kind and spoke the word love in and of itself, I would still fall short if all I could do was say the word and not live the word. When it talks about this linguistic ability, it's talking about knowing all languages. It's talking about having the ability to communicate the words love or the words that express love, but falling short of the demonstration of that. So it's saying it doesn't really matter how intelligent you are, how linguistic you may be in terms of your ability to speak multiple languages at one time. It does say that you're very intelligent, you're studied, you've learned multiple languages, but having that and still not having the essence of what you're speaking about causes you to fall short. Look again at what it says. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. So it's talking about not only earthly languages, but even rising to the occasion of being able to speak angelic languages, speaking in tongues or spiritual tongues, plural, again. So regardless of what your ability to speak the word love, be it in the language of men or be it in the language of angels, you fall far short in the book of God if what you talk cannot be walked. So that's dealing with linguistic ability. But then he moves on to verse 2 and deals with learning ability. Because notice what he says in verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, listen again, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Listen again, because I want you to see. Now, as it talks about the learning ability, the first one dealt with speaking that had to do with what you say. Now, learning had to do with what you seek in terms of learning and understanding and ability. We study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing God's word truthfully. And so when we recognize how it is important for us to study that we might have an understanding, that we might have a knowledge, and the knowledge base is there so that we can operate in the know-how of God's word. It's difficult to do what you do not know. And God makes it clear that the first principle of doing is knowing.
It should not be a happenstance or a haphazard way of learning, but rather knowing what thus saith the Lord, so that you are able to speak those things that be not as though they were, so that you're able to call the things of God from the spiritual realm to the natural realm, because you know what God has promised in His Word, to be able to so say and show assertively what it is that God wants you to say and show, because God's Word is backed up by God's power. And when you know it, you have the ability, again, to divide this Word up rightly and minister it the way God wants you to, and have the things produced in the natural realm the way God said to have it done. And so when you learn this, you can start operating on a spiritual level far beyond where you are right now. And so he's dealing with even learning abilities, because there are some things that we learn as it relates to knowledge, as it relates to schooling, as it relates to developing our gifts and our skills. And so again, he goes back, because this is dealing with seeking the ability to minister and to move on higher levels. Look again at what it says. And though I have the gift of prophecy. Now, when he talks about this, of course, he's dealing with understanding those things that are in part and giving revelation before they come to pass. And so a lot of times when we look at this, we still know prophecy in part. We do not know that in totality. God gives us a glimpse of what's going to happen in the future. Call that prophecy. And so we know it's going to happen, because when God shares with us and shows us that, again, it is simply a preview and not a full detailed script of what's going to happen. But then notice he goes on and he says, and understanding all mysteries. Do you know how powerful you would be if you could open up the Word of God and understand every mystery that was printed in the Word of God? Do you know what level you would function on if you could crack the code of God's Word and understood everything that confounded everybody else? But look at what it goes on to say. It says, and all knowledge. Now that means having the revelation of the truth of God. And if you've got all knowledge, then that means you're not in the dark about anything. You know God's position on every matter. You know God's power in every matter. You know God's precedence in every matter. And so when you have all knowledge, you'd be able to do like Jesus when he was tempted after he had been sacrificing and fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, and the enemy came to tempt him. Everything the enemy came against Jesus with, he spoke what? He said, it is written. And went right to the scripture that was applicable or applicable to that situation. Why? Because he had all knowledge. He knew what the devil's plans and schemes and plots were. Because one of the things, when you got all knowledge, you can see the enemy coming a country mile. When you know all knowledge, you know what they're up to. God gives you not, I mean, listen, because you understand the operation, you know how certain things fit in certain categories and order. And certainly if you know it fits in this order by way of knowledge, then you're able to definitely call the situation for what it is. When you see an apple, see the shape, see the color, see the consistency of it, you know it's an apple. They can't tell you that's an orange, because you know about that. All right. And so it works that same way in all arenas. Look again, I want you to see something else. It says, and though I have all faith, listen, so that I could remove mountains. And mountains are synonymous with major issues in your life, with things that are hard to overcome. And so he's saying, if you have the faith to be able to speak to a mountain, and as large and cumbersome as it may be in your life, you can speak it away by faith. Look at the importance of love now. He's saying again in his word, he says, and have not charity, agape, or love. Notice now he turns it inward and says, I am nothing. Now this is important, because what people don't recognize is God does not give you gifts and take the gifts back from you. He's not an Indian giver. So if he's not an Indian giver, the truth of the matter is that you can have the gift operating in your life. And when you go opposite of that anointing that God has given to you to do and to work the gift, God still allows the gift to bless other folk, but you yourself miss out on the blessings. And so when you see and understand that he says, listen, if I had all of these things going for me and I did not have love, I am nothing. Why? Because the true basis and principle of what he's talking about has to originate out of the love of God. Because God is love, and everyone who is of God is love. And so that means I operate out of the principle and the power of love. And so the gifts that I operate are operated out of love. And even if I go opposite again of that anointing, his gift will still work for those to whom he's given me to minister to, but I'll miss everything he's got stored for me. And so as a result, I am nothing, nothing, nothing. So you wonder sometime how you can be so blessed to be a blessing, and then you live a life that seems to be cursed. You see, unless you line up with the things of God, listen, one of the things I love about the Lord God is he's no respecter of persons. And so sometimes God will use somebody messed up to reach somebody messed up. But he'd rather use somebody who's been messed up and straightened out to reach somebody who's still messed out, so they can be straightened out and have wonderful fellowship together. But if you don't want to get it together, in spite of you, he'll still use you. I want you to know he can use a fool. And if you're not a fool also, you can gain some valuable knowledge from that fool who has a gift. God give him a gift and then use that gift. Bless your life. And then you look at that fool and say, my, what a fool to have such a precious gift. And listen, you're blessed, but they're not. And so he says, I am become nothing. So he deals not only with linguistic ability, things that you say. And then not only does he deal here in this word that helps us to understand the learning ability, which is what we seek so that we may know and operate in the principles of God. But look at verse 3, because here's where it gives us the laboring ability. And that has to do with showing love. Look at what verse 3 says. And though I bestow all my goods to do what? To feed the poor. This is one of the things that we're commanded to do in the New Testament, Jesus says. And though I give my body to be burned as a martyr, sacrificing my flesh for the cause of Christ. Look again at what it says. And have not agape, and have not love, and have not charity, it profited me nothing. Now, I've released the seed, I've sown, I've fed the hungry. I've done a wonderful and notable thing, commanded to do that, doing what is honorable in the sight of God. Now, how does it make sense for me to do the things that I do in a sacrificial manner? And I want you to hear me well, church. It doesn't make sense for you to be saved and go to hell from the church. In other words, if I'm gonna go to hell, I think I might as well enjoy as much of this world as I possibly can. What's worse is to be in a house of God, a house of prayer, to say that you've been saved and then walk, talk, and live opposite of that salvation, so much so that when you die, you leave this earth from a place of salvation, a place of safety, and end up eternally in hell. You have been the biggest hypocrite and fool, because if you're going to live like a fool, if you're going to live like a sinner, then don't half step. But if you're going to live like a Christian, die like a Christian, and be in the eternal presence like a Christian, then live wholeheartedly like one. If you're going to make sacrifices, pay your tithe, come to church, be in prayer service, be in the study of word, be in multiple worship services, living the life part-time. Listen, it's important for you to realize that you can't, I heard someone say, you can't fight full-time demons being a part-time Christian. Now listen at this. If you are going to be a real Christian, then it makes sense that you be full-time. Now, I don't mean that you're going to be perfect, but you're going to walk toward perfection. You're going to focus on being perfect. You're going to do what it takes. And listen to this. God is constantly working on us through the process of love. But he knows our mind and he knows our hearts. And he knows our desires. And he knows we want to be right, want to do right. Want to be what he wants us to be. But listen again now, because this is important, because we're still talking about the importance of love. He goes back in verse 3, says, and though I bestow all my goods, I mean, he sells out. Nothing left. Now that's sacrifice in the supreme. All my goods. Don't have nothing left to fall back on. And not many of us make that kind of sacrifice. But he's talking about a supreme sacrifice being insufficient without love. Look again at what it says in verse 3. And though I give my body to be burned. Now that's the highest personal sacrifice, because now it's talking about suffering as a martyr, as someone who is killed or crucified or removed from this earth for the cause of following Christ or some cause they believe in. And so when you're willing to die for your cause, die for your Christ, it's the ultimate sacrifice you can make in your flesh. Now listen to this. Even if you're willing to die for Christ,
all right,
and this is powerful, what greater sacrifice could you make than giving your body totally, listen at this, to be burned, sacrificed, offered to Christ? What greater sacrifice can you give? I'll tell you, it is the love that God wants you to love with, and that's the agape love. Yes. It's greater than the sacrifice of your flesh, because he has given the most purest flesh. He has given the most purest form of love in the person of his son. And there is none purer, more righteous, more holier than his son, who gave himself, his flesh, because of divine agape love, that whosoever will be able to have life eternally. And so you can't give your body, that's greater than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and expect that God would be more pleased with that than the love that prompted Jesus to give his life. And so it all comes down to you loving with the kind of love that you would do in this body, a service of love. Listen, to live with the agape love on the inside of you, God gets a whole lot more out of you than you sacrificing your body to be burned one time.
All right.
See, you go there today and you sacrifice your body to be burned and you die. What good else are you for the kingdom?
All right.
You made one major sacrifice, but what good are you able to do now for the kingdom of God? But if you lived and had the love of God, the agape love on the inside of you, being utilized as God wanted to, being a vessel and a vehicle with the valuables of God's love on the inside of you, stopping where he wants, delivering where he wants you, doing where he wants you, you show in reality the kind of love that God wants you to live with. And without that love, listen to what the rest of the verse says, it profited you nothing. Give all my goods. It profit me nothing. Give my body to be burned. It profited me nothing. Why? Because I've missed the most important thing that God wants me to have in my life. We're right now in the midst of, you know, giving and sowing and sharing with those who have suffered great tragedy over in Haiti. And we're doing and making sacrifices, and many are giving much. And yet in the midst of all that we're giving, and many others who are sacrificing from their lives and going over to Haiti to serve and to show their love, if they're doing it for any other reason than for the agape love of God, it is all in vain. If they're doing it so people can brag on them, if they're doing it for people to see what they've contributed, if they're doing it so they can feel good, so that they can say, I did it, but not because I've been prompted from the Spirit of God to do it and gave as God ordained and ordered me to give. But if I gave because I didn't want to have a guilty conscience every time I see the commercial coming on and I'm living in the lap of luxury and I see these folk lost everything, and so I send on my text $10. All right. On my phone, or I've given Red Cross a check for $100, or I've given my church a check for $1,000, and I say, I've done my part. The word says, if I've not done it with the agape love,
all right,
it profited me nothing. But when you do it out of a spirit of God's love, listen, you can't help everybody, because it is a physical impossibility. It is a resource impossibility. God did not intend for you to help everybody. But when you operate out of love, you will help everybody that God ordains you to help. And one of the things that you've got to realize is, because love in its purest form knows your heart and he knows the heart of those that you are reaching out to, God is the one who's in control of all of the things that we have and have need of. And so when we, out of a heart of love, reach out and are a blessing to those who are less fortunate than ourselves or who are in need of things that we have possession of, and when we give it because our spirit and our heart is of love and of God, we can look for that to be multiplied back in our lives, just because God does it according to his own word, his own will, and his own way. Have you ever sown a lot and didn't get much back? This might very well be the key. What was your motive? What was really your purpose? Who were you really trying to please? Who were you really trying to impress? Who were you trying to make an impact on? Who were you trying to get to say you were a good person? You did a good deed. Pat you on your back. Who were you trying to get your reward from? Because you see, if it wasn't done out of love, the record is clear. It profited you nothing. Now, what's bad about that, and I'm closing, is not only does it not profit you anything on this side, but the record is clear that it does not profit you anything on the other side. Because when we do those things down here, our reward is in heaven. Our good deeds rewarded truly in heaven. We get some perks down here, but the real rewards are in heaven. God blesses us down here, but the real rewards are in heaven. And there are some things that you do, money, can I tell you, just can't fit the bill. There are some things that only heaven will record and reward you for when you get to the other side. But if you're doing all you're doing and love is not the motivating force, it profited you nothing. If I were you, I wouldn't want to do another thing without being serious and sincere and making myself conscious of the fact that I am doing it out of a spirit of godly love. Because to do it any other way causes me not to profit. And if I ain't gonna profit from it, ain't no sense in me playing. See, some of y'all can sit around and act holier than thou. But if I ain't gonna profit from it right, it ain't no sense in me playing. And so whatever sacrifice I make, I want to make sure that that sacrifice is pleasing to God, so that in the end result, I